36 degrees, the Wib Wake Up Show coming up on 5:45, the best 5 minutes of the day, and one of my best buds in all the world, Jason Kanz, is on the line. Good morning.
Good morning.
Missed you at Man Club last night.
Yeah, we put up a shed last night.
I saw the picture. You and Heather, way to go.
Yeah, it was, it's been a long process, and we've had the parts sitting out there for a while, and so we finally had some space to be able to put it up together, and so we tackled it last night, and feel a little soreness in my muscles today, so, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and you did it pretty lickety-split, right?
Yeah, I think, Heather had, the weekend I went to my mom's, she had kind of put all the smaller parts together so we could just kind of put it together like a little tyke's house. And it went well. We seemed to work okay as a team last night.
We say this, maybe that hasn't always been the case, but yeah, it happens over time, so.
Yeah, it does. And sometimes it's not always the case, exactly.
No, yeah, as soon as you say that, my mind goes back to trying to think. The early days when we'd have a real Christmas tree and somehow seems like putting it up or taking it down, it would be like a marital conflict multiple years. Yeah. And so it's gone better with the artificial. All right. I want to, first of all, just briefly say how good it feels to be well rested. I woke up middle of the night. Again, the older you get, you got that issue sometimes. Going back to bed though, and slept another an hour and a half, and I feel really wide awake. I've been awake since 3:20, and that makes all the difference in the world to go into your day feeling well rested as opposed to tired, doesn't it?
It does. You know, I think that's one of the things that makes us healthy is to be able to rest well.
I know.
You know, to go to bed, be able to fall asleep and wake up. I saw a T-shirt recently that said something along the lines of Jesus took naps. Be like Jesus. And, you know, and I think there's, you know, I suspect he slept well, you know, probably most of the time anyway. And you think of like Mark 4, where he's sleeping in the boat while everybody else is under stress.
It's funny you say that because a friend of mine, Matt, has a podcast called Jesus Never Ran, and someone close to me doesn't like the title of that because they're like, how do you know that? We do have scriptural evidence that Jesus napped. We really don't know if Jesus ever ran, and here's the thing. I saw him running on The Chosen recently, so I think he did run.
Well, you know, that's probably true. I'm sure they've got the correct translation of that.
Hey, a listener chiming in this morning says, wondering if you could help me. He says, could you please pray for me? And I'm going to call him and pray with him. But he says, I'm asking God for my purpose in life to help remove the feeling of being lost and tired of daily mundane routine, even if you can point me to a scripture that could help. Thank you. So I'll give you first dibs. What would you say to him?
Man, you know, I think that is a wonderful question to be asking. You know, and I think a lot of us feel that, and maybe especially this year. You know, and I think the purpose, you know, and I'm sure this is a drum we keep beating, but for me, it's the purpose is loving well, you know, loving others, loving ourselves. You know, I think to get in on God's process of redeeming all things, you know, we have talked on here repeatedly about John 13, you know, love as I have loved you. That's how the world will know that you are my disciples, mm-hmm. if you love one another. And that's John 13, 34 and 35. Mm-hmm. Now, how do you put that into practice? I think that's a good question that each of us need to ask. And but I guess I would start there.
And I think I think it starts with knowing God, right? John 17, 3. There you go, John 17. Yep. Jesus says, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. So if you don't know God, if you don't have that relationship with him through faith in the finished work of Christ, I think it starts with that. Romans 10, 9, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. 2 Corinthians 5, 17, if anyone's in Christ, he or she's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And so I think that's where it starts. But then beyond that, I guess I think of Philippians 3, 10, which also, you know, Chuck Swindoll, you catch his show weeknights at 7 here on WIB, and his book about So You Want to Be Like Christ, is based on that verse, and it's the idea that Paul says, I want to know you. There you go, knowing him. The power of your resurrection, and then even the fellowship of sharing in your suffering. So I think, bottom line, simplistically, even as Paul says in Philippians 1:21, to live as Christ, to die as gain, it sounds fanatical, but it's Jesus, 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 right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, even thinking or hearing you talk about that, the idea of knowing God, right? You know, mm-hmm. I have this acronym, this LUDIO, which is love up, down, in, and out. You know, we start by acknowledging or knowing God's love for us and our love for God. And out of that flows love for others, love for ourselves, and love for the whole world.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think it's a high and holy calling we're invited into.
It is. And, you know, Michael Phelps, I mean, he won all sorts of Olympic gold, like more than anybody in the pool. But ultimately, it was Rick Warren's purpose-driven life that helped Mike after I think he had a couple of OWI tickets. And that really brought the spiritual awakening. And so that's a book that our friend may find helpful as well. So, all right.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Jason. Love you.
Talk to you tomorrow.
What do you miss most about being a kid? As an adult, what do you miss most about being a kid? We got some good answers already. We'd love to get yours as well at 715-396-1670 or on the WIB Wake Up Show Facebook page. Kelly says she misses everything. Mom's cooking, family dinners at the table, and family road trips. We mentioned earlier that Kim says she misses naps. And Cody says, Mrs. playing with toys like Tinker Toys, Lincoln Logs, and Pipe Works as well. And our friend Susan is in here. Let's see, we got Mike 4. Okay, good morning.
Hi, everybody.
Good morning.
How are you, Mark?
It's a beautiful morning.
It is so beautiful. It's getting lighter and lighter.
As a football fan, this is like Christmas.
It's
April.
Draft day.
And it's like, I was thinking it's kind of like going around and opening your Christmas presents. And Caleb and I have talked about this. We both like it that our families would say one person at a time opening. And I presume your family.
It always starts that way.
That's the honest comment. And it's like each team gets to, and so the Packers get to open their gift 29th. So anyhow.
That's right. I can't wait.
But the question of the morning is not about that. It is, what do you miss most about being a kid, Susan?
Oh my gosh. Well, here's the deal. I remember as a kid saying, I can't wait till I'm a grown-up and I can go buy candy whenever I want.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, right.
So I had a really good childhood. I loved just riding my bike to the library by myself and just the smell of library books. I guess a little bit of independence, but also knowing that I would be cared for.
Yeah.
There would be dinner at home. And I don't know. I loved it. And I love being with my sister all the time.
Here's the thing. If you never grow up, you go, I still do that. No, anyhow. So, I miss having some of the time to do some. I'm thinking of like sports board games I enjoyed as a kid. Just shooting hoops in the driveway. And now it's just like just finding the time to do some of that.
I wonder if we're in heaven, if I'll be able to see you as a kid. You know, if we're just all the ages all at once.
Nothing,
that would be cool.
Nothing is too difficult for God. WWIV. Let us know, weigh in, what do you miss about your childhood on WIB? Now, actually, we chimed in a little before sports and commentary around 6:45, Caleb, so we want to start with you. What do you miss most about your childhood?
That's a tough question because there's some common responses like, oh, napping. Well, I still kind of do that.
Well, I had a 10-minute power nap yesterday. It was sweet.
And I don't want to be all, like, dismal about it. Like, man, I was never stressed when I was a child. But honestly, like, things were pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think maybe what I miss most about my childhood is some of those moments, like how excited I would get for Christmas and birthdays.
Yes.
And now as a parent, I get so excited. I love Christmas. I get so excited for Christmas for different reasons.
He loves Christmas, Susan.
Different
Yay.
Reasons. But again, like my birthday's coming up in less than a month. I'm just kind of like
May 26th.
Yeah. And so I kind of miss that where it's like, the highlight of my year was Christmas morning and my birthday. And it's like, my birthday. So I kind of miss just that exuberance that I see, like, in my children now. And especially, like, Cooper, like, he's been asking, like, every night when I put him to bed, he asks how long it is till Christmas.
Aww.
And he's a great exuberant young
boy. So I maybe that's what I miss is just sort of the exuberance of youth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
And we aren't surprised. As adults, we aren't often pleasantly surprised. I'll put it that way. And having surprises as a child was a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, Saturday cartoons. I mean, now you can watch cartoons anytime, but I remember being so excited getting up. There it was.
Super Friends in the 70s. Do you remember
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely.
Didn't they have, like, Wonder Dog or something?
They did.
Do you remember Hong Kong Phooey?
Of course.
Okay, so but a lot
my
of people are like...
My first crush was on Underdog. And my kids still tease me. They're like, your first crush was on a cartoon dog.
His girlfriend, Polly.
Polly.
You exactly. wished you were her.
I mean, some of these other things, like a survey about what grown-ups miss most about their childhood, weigh in, if you would, on the Wib Wake Up Show
yes,
Facebook page.
Yes, we want to hear.
Remember, like, sleepovers? Like, you'd go over to somebody's house and stay out. And, like, I remember the first time we stayed up till 1:13 a.m. And it was like, this was just uncharted territory. And then, like, Mrs. Lancaster made us really fluffy pancakes in the morning or, like, having friends over to my house for sleepovers. Like, you know, or and just like seeing friends like on a regular basis, like, you know, the neighbor kids and all that too. Like, it's just, it's different. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe we need to be a little bit more involved with our community.
Prizes in a cereal box. I sent away for the Quisp gun. Quisp. I know there was Quisp
and Quake.
Quisp versus King Vitamin.
And you just had to pay shipping and handling and wait 4 to 6 weeks for delivery.
I got it and it had like some powder and it was like empty within 10 seconds, you know? Right. So anyhow.
But you know what, you guys? This has been such a great question because so many of the things we miss, we can still do now.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
And Jesus says, unless you become like children, but not childish now, childlike, childlike.
Exactly.
So, hey, John Fields weighing in on the Wib listener line this morning on the question of the morning.
The thing that I would miss as I was a child was when my mother and father would have Thanksgiving Day dinner, and my brother and all my sisters were there. Plus, I remember she made this goblet full of Jell-O, multicolor Jell-O flavors with whipped cream in it. And they were quite big, and we all would have one to eat. And I miss it. That was a good time.
Sounds like a trifle. That sounds fantastic.
Yeah. I don't know about you guys, but with Facebook, I mean, all the time... people trying to sell you services. You just need to take this class or this something. Got an ad this morning from someone. It caught my eye. Need an extra hour in the day. And he's promoting he can help you find the 25th hour.
Wow.
He can help you find the 25th hour. Now, listen.
Does he have a time turner like Harry?
He does talk about the fact that it's about leading yourself. And I understand that's really important. But then you got to think of what's a way you can grab people's attention.
What? Did you friend Galileo inadvertently?
We tend to be creatures of habit.
Mm-hmm.
Without even realizing it. And I was just talking to Mark and Susan off the air about how, you know what, my family tends to sit in the same section, if not the same row.
We do too.
Every week at church.
Yeah. Right.
I usually pull to the same slot in the parking lot here at Wib every single day. If I'm feeling a little wild, I might pull all the way through instead of, depending on how late I am and how many extra steps to the door. Well, here's
same
a guy
spot
who's
for me every day.
Done something that few people may actually even think of doing. Gareth Wild. He has parked in every parking slot at his local grocery store, and it only took him 6 years to do it. Because again, remember, there are different people there. So Mr. Wild, a video producer in London, tracked his parking lot journey in a multicolored spreadsheet, ladies. He's taken, filling in a square every time he parked in one of the 211 regular parking spaces. He did not park in spaces reserved for the disabled or in motorcycle spaces, but he didn't visit the store or parking lot unless it was a scheduled normal grocery trip, which is why it took him 6 years. Yes, there's video online.
I'm thinking of two different grocery stores near my house off of Birch Street. And so one, a much bigger lot than the other. But wow, that's some free time on his hands to even chart this.
You know, to me, it sounds like he just needed a safe little project to escape the regular toils of his day. It's like, that's okay. I've always got the parking lot project.
If I have played Kingdom Music, K. Anthony song Trust before, I don't remember it. So my first time playing that for on
it's
a 51-degree morning. Yeah.
I love it.
I love this one. I was just telling Susan off the air, like we've been playing it for a few weeks here off and on. And it's a lot of fun. It's a different vibe.
I haven't seen it. I don't remember it coming up in my list. We have kind of songs pop up in front of us. I know that Caleb being, 23 years my junior, I mean, he does have a more youthful sound typically. But I'm glad to... you know,
I would be
step it
such
up from time
a
to time.
Square if I didn't work here.
It's a smorgasbord, right? Because we've got so many different things too, and there's always like, you know, yeah, I'm a little bit more of a hip hop type of guy too. But Mark and I share a love for Stephen Curtis Chapman,
Chris
and,
Rice,
and, yeah,
right.
some singer songwriters,
yeah,
and yeah, that's just we were even talking about this off the air a little bit yesterday too that. You know, every once in a while, a song's going to pop up and you're like, that's not my jam. That's not my style. But guaranteed, there's going to be someone else who's blessed by it, loves it. And that's what's so cool about Christian music is it doesn't have to fit into a particular sound or genre. It can go just such a wide gamut of sound, all in praise to the King. So
that's
I'll get off
so
my soapbox.
True.
But no. Anyway, like I know sometimes it's like, well, I don't like that. So no one else must like it either. It's it's just not true. So
yeah. Right. And that is so important to remember. Instead of saying, well, I just don't like that. Realize, well, God has that playing for some reason to touch somebody, and that's something you can like.
NFL draft tonight, and for football fans, it's like Christmas at the end of April.
It is.
And, Caleb, we were talking earlier, it's kind of like, all right, everybody gets to open their present, and so the Packers 29th in waiting to open. So
right, because we were so good last season.
And it's kind of like it. Think about it. You kind of know what Jacksonville's getting for
Yeah.
Everybody knows Trevor Lawrence.
They've made no secret about that.
Yeah. But Andrew Brandt used to be in the Packers front office, and he was telling the story earlier this morning on the CBS radio network with host Amy Lawrence. I've been telling you guys about this. Fascinating in terms of the Aaron Rodgers draft. Remember that now.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Smith was the top pick quarterback. He just retired. But 37-year-old Aaron Rodgers was just a kid back then, and he dropped. Now, as Brandt tells it, they had 21 players listed as first-round quality. Mm-hmm. 20 of them were gone. Packers picking at 24. And the Packers had Brett Favre in his prime.
Right.
They did not need a quarterback.
He was incredible.
And so, but Aaron drops to them at 24, and they're like, nobody else. They said, people who had told Aaron to his face, like John Gruden, hey, if you're there, I'm going to take you, didn't. Gruden went with a running back. He was with Tampa. And so the fact is that Andrew's the one on the line with Aaron. Back in the day, it was 15 minutes rather than tonight's 10 minutes. And so 13 minutes in, the Packers are waiting for trade offers.
Right.
He was saying they maybe thought, hey, is somebody going to offer us 2 second-round picks? Nobody did. Mm-hmm. So the Packers felt like, let's follow the draft philosophy, which is follow the board. And it tells us Aaron Rodgers is the best player available. So despite the fact we don't need him.
No.
They took him.
And imagine being Aaron Rodgers, being one of the last to be picked on the softball.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you're just standing there.
Right.
Okay.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And so the fact is that there was such a huge noise at Lambeau that the people with Andrew Brandt and the others, Ted Thompson, thought, what happened?
Booing,
it was
right?
So much booing from the draft party that's what it was to that pick. And so the fact is that they went with him. It was not popular. There's another recent pick that wasn't popular. And so, but fast forward to the first training camp. And again, they'd been hearing negatives from Brett's side, like, what are you doing? Why do I have to see my replacement here?
Right.
Aaron's like, I want to play. And this went on over the years. But the fact is that the very first time when they saw Aaron go to his left and throw 60 yards down the field, a perfect strike to Donald Driver, Ted Thompson and Andrew Brandt said, we've got our guy.
Yes.
And you think about that, the life lessons from that, you know, here they had 20 of their 21 first round rated players off the board. They weren't planning to take Aaron. He's still there. They're trying to trade the pick. Don't get any trade offers for him. So they take him. And there's this outcry of booing and discord because of that. But people didn't realize. They're like, oh, this is a slap in the face to Brett Favre and all those things. No one was in that room other than, again, that select few they didn't realize. And how applicable is that to our life where so many people are fighting battles that you don't know about? And there's so many things where we jump to criticize, especially in our social media and instantaneous news cycle age, where we don't know the battles people are fighting. We don't know what's going on in the room, what's going on in their head. And yet we see external things and we lambaste them so quickly. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And maybe it's a little lesson that, hey, you're not in the room. Sometimes it's maybe better to have a discretionary silence, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. And hats off to Aaron Rodgers for being so patient, because Brett Favre played for quite a while after that.
3 more years.
Well, yeah. And one of his best years, his first year with the Vikings, actually. So, and even as you think about this, I know that the current GM, Gutekunst, has said, hey, we're not against people waiting. And
right.
So the current guy waiting is Jordan Love. And who knows? But what if he is right. half the quarterback of Aaron Rodgers?
All this to say, we all think we need wide receivers, even though my co-hosts disagree with me. Wide receivers and cornerbacks.
Yeah.
But I may not have the whole picture like God and the Packers do.
There offensive line, please.
There we go. I'm predicting Caleb, but just not Caleb Swenson. Caleb Farley out
Caleb
of Virginia.
Farley.
I withdrew my name from consideration.
Okay, I like him. I like Caleb Farley.